Last week, verse 12, he says, not that I've already reached the goal or I'm already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. And that's what I called the start of the race. That was the subtitle. The title is Pursuing Christ's Likeness for these three verses. Last week was talking about the start of the race. That's when God gets a hold of you. That's when He grabs a hold of your heart and you realize you're not the same anymore. He has moved in. And that's the start of the race. Up until that point, you're not even in the game. You're just a sinner. You're lost. You need Jesus, okay? But then at that point, that's the start of your walk with God. That's the start of what we call sanctification, which is the process of conforming you into the image of Jesus. I mean, that's what sanctification literally is. It's God stripping us from our old selves and us becoming like Jesus day by day. Just, it's a process. Salvation is a event. Sanctification is a process. And so that was the start of the race. And verse 13 is really the course of the race. And it gives us insight, this verse, regarding the present, regarding now. Running the race, the course that we are on now. And he says, brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. That's verse 13. And so when we are running a race, there's some things we got to do, especially not just a physical race, but talking about our life, our Christian walk, if you will. There's some things we've got to do. And so the first one is we must face our position. Face our position. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. He's saying, you know what? I've got growing to do. Now, this is Paul writing. The great apostle, the great church planner, the great evangelist, the great apologist, if you will, who go before kings and before peasants and everything in between, preaching Jesus Christ. And the bottom line is, he states a fact. I am not yet like Jesus. He's saying, I've not considered myself to have taken hold of it. And we have to face that in our lives. And I know that just seems kind of like one of those things, well, yeah, of course I'm not completely like Jesus, but there needs to be a hunger there to be like Jesus. Sometimes we can say, well, I'm never going to be like him until I'm in glory, and that is true. You won't be 100%, but we got to be careful not to become complacent. We have to be careful not to get sidetracked. And so the fact is, yes, I'm not like Jesus, but I need to be on that path. I need to be on that path, and I need to know where I'm at on that path. It is making a humble, honest appraisal of my progress towards that goal, towards what? Christ-likeness. And you could sit down at the end of the day and then ponder what happened just that day. I mean, forget yesterday or last week or last year or the whole rest of your life. Today or tonight, when I look back on today, I need to assess, was I like Jesus today? Oh, man, I talked to somebody. I was kind of rude or I had this thought. I should have done something, I didn't do it, or maybe I did something I shouldn't have done. We need to become aware of where we are at any given time. And it's very humbling, but we have to be humble, we have to be honest with ourselves. And just say, I need to face where I'm at. That's where you got to start. But then, there it goes, you must have pinpoint focus. Pinpoint focus. He says, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. You know, part of our problem is we try to do 50 things. You know, we can start assessing our life, which we ought to do, but then go, wow, I messed up here, I messed up here, I messed up here. You know, Paul said, this one thing I do. You know, and we need to be on that path, and we need to know where we are, but we've got to make progress. And the secret to progress is to focus on one thing at a time. And it really is in two steps. First, focus. He says, one thing I do. We have to focus on something and then follow through. Follow through. It's not enough to take a look at yourself and say, okay, I have an issue in this area, and then stop. No, you got to follow through. What's it going to take the next step? You're on a path. You're on a course. What is the next step? And problem is with us, a lot of times we get focused on a lot of other things. Got a lot of other things going on. And I got a couple of passages here. This is a rich young ruler. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, Jesus, and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asked him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, God. You know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Now he lists all those commandments there, but you notice there's like four of them he didn't mention. It was the ones about God. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't make idols. Don't worship any other god. Remember the Sabbath. Those things, all those things. He doesn't mention that. He says these things. And the young man said to Jesus, teacher, I have kept all these from my youth. I've kept all these things. And then looking at him, Jesus loved him. I mean, he's like, this guy's sincere. This guy's been obeying my word. And he looks at him and he loves him and he says, you lack one thing. One thing you lack. Go, sell all you have and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then he says, come, follow me. You see, this guy, his focus was not on God. His focus was on his behavior. Now, should we be aware of our behavior? Well, absolutely. We should be. But our focus needs to be on God. And Jesus knew that this guy was all wrapped up in his stuff. You know, not everyone Jesus talked to did he tell him to sell everything he had. Now, some people, that's what God calls us to do. I've known people that get saved and, you know, and they kind of sell out to God immediately. They'll just sell everything they have and go to school and, you know, and go be a missionary or whatever. God sometimes works like that. But sometimes God leaves you in the job you're in, you know, with the stuff you have, and he's expecting you to grow and serve in some other capacity. But our focus, whether we're one or the other, our focus needs to be on God, on following him. He says, you lack one thing. You need to do one thing. You need to follow through. He says, and then come, follow me. See, that's the thing he lacked. He was following all these rules, which they were good rules. Yeah, we shouldn't steal. I mean, obviously. But why we're not stealing ought to be because we're following him, not just to follow the rule. We're following Christ. Come and follow me. And then there's this, and he says, but he was stunned at this demand, and he went away grieving because he had many possessions. You see, I can do this and this and this. Just don't take this stuff from me. Oh, I'll come to church once a week, or I'll come and, you know, sing in the choir or teach a Sunday school or whatever, but don't take my stuff from me. What's your focus on? See, that's what we need to ask ourselves. Another one, Mary and Martha, very familiar story probably to most of us. You know, while they were traveling, he entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to give me a hand. Give me a hand. Help me out." I mean, here, you know, get the picture. You know, Jesus comes into the home. I mean, what would you do? You know, put yourself in these things. Jesus in the body, okay, physically, shows up on your doorstep, knocks on the door, comes in. You're going to look around your house and go, "Whoa. Oh, man, I haven't vacuumed yet. You know, oh, man, he's going to need something to eat. I haven't even taken the meat out for dinner yet." Right? I mean, and I'm not saying that's bad stuff. But, you know, she got all, you know, she's like, "Oh, I got to do all this stuff." And Mary just sits down at his feet and is listening to him. And Martha gets upset. "Man, I'm doing all the work here. I'm getting the house ready. I'm preparing the meal. I'm washing the dishes. You know, my sink's full of dishes. I got to wash these things before he comes in here." And she goes, "Master, come tell her to help me." And the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But one thing is necessary." You know, we get tied up with a lot of stuff. But a lot of that stuff we do is not necessary. It can be convenient. It could be helpful. It could be nice. But is it necessary? One thing is necessary. And Mary made the right choice. And it won't be taken from her. And what was her choice? "I'm going to sit at the feet of the Master. I'm going to listen to what the Lord has to say." You see, the rich young ruler, his focus was on behavior, not on God. Martha's problem, she was focused on service, but not on the Lord either. And listen, do we need service? Yes. I mean, we have people, you know, that clean the church. We have people that serve teaching classes or singing or, you know, whatever needs to be done. You know, Dave putting together these things, you know, so we can, you know, have a service and all that. And these things are necessary. But while we're doing these things, is our focus on the Lord for whom we're doing it for? See, we got to consider what we're doing. Where's our focus? And we got to have pinpoint focus. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We got to do those things. But a lot of times, you know, when you're doing the same thing, you know, when you've been teaching a Sunday school class for 10 years, you get totally focused on the Sunday school class. It's just natural. That's what we do. I mean, I've never seen anybody focused like Dave there. And he gets in there. You don't see this because, you know, he's in there. And he's on there. And I got something to say to him. I can't get him. I have to wait till there's a break. Then I'm like, "Dave, I need you to do this." And he's like, "Okay." You know. I mean, he's focused. You know, do we have that kind of focus on our Lord? We ought to. So you got to face your position. You got to have pinpoint focus. And here now we're really getting to the point. He says, "I don't consider myself to have gotten there." He knows where he's at. He says, "But one thing I do, forget what is behind." You know what? You got to forget the past. Now, that word "forget the past," well, those are three words, but the word "forget" it doesn't mean utterly forget. There's a different word for that. Okay. This word means don't be controlled by the past. Don't be influenced in a negative way by the past. Don't let your past control you. I have met people, their past absolutely controls them. Absolutely controls them. And we've got to learn to forget the past. Listen, you understand you can't do anything about the past? It happened. Whatever it was you did, you did it. Whatever someone did to you, that's been done. You know, whatever circumstance happened, whatever event, whatever, you cannot do anything about that. It's been done. It's in the past. Don't let your past control you. Past control us. How does the past control us? Well, there are people that are paralyzed by their past. They can't move. They're right where they're at, and they're not going to move. And you say, can you help me with this? Oh, well, you know what? This happened to me, and sometimes, and I'm not kidding you, sometimes it's 30 years ago. Or 40 years ago with some people. And this happened to me, and you know what? I just can't do that. They're just paralyzed. Because they've never dealt with it. It happened. You can't do anything about that, but listen, you can respond to it. You must respond to it, or Satan will use it to own you. He will use it to render you useless to the kingdom of God. Paralyzed by the past. This happened to me, so I just can't. I'm just going to stay right where I'm at. This is where I've been. And you know, sometimes people get comfort. They're comfortable in really kind of a really unpleasant situation, but they're used to it. They're kind of numbed to it. And they get comfortable. They're paralyzed. They're just not able to move. They're afraid. There's people that are paralyzed. There are people that are incarcerated. They're in prison. It's not that they won't move. They can't move. You know, I failed. I tried, but I failed, so I can't. You know, it's like, I remember in New Mexico getting on a horse, and that horse did not want me on him. Now, you're talking 1,000-pound animal. And I know I'm big, but I'm not near 1,000 pounds. And he didn't want me on him. And guess what? I wasn't on him long. I mean, I really respect those guys that ride those things, you know, for 8 seconds or whatever it is. I don't think I lasted 0.8 seconds on him. But you know what? I got back on. I could have just said, you know what? I can't ride. I have freedom to do a lot of things, but I can't ride. I'm in prison in that area because that horse threw me off. You know, what's the horse in your life? What's the horse that's thrown you off and you won't get back on? You are in bondage to that. You know, if something happens and you won't go out and face it again, and I'm not talking about doing something wrong. I'm just talking about don't let something defeat you. You got to get back on the horse. You got to keep trying. Don't give up. Don't be in prison. Don't just say, you know what? I'm just never going to be able to do that. I just can't go there. It's like there's a cage around me and I can't go there. So, you know, I got up off the ground, figured out I didn't break anything. Got back on, and he snorted again, only this time I was kind of ready for him. You know, first time it was a surprise. I'd ridden this horse before. Never did this before. You just got to stay at it. But you can't let it beat you. or you will be imprisoned in that area. You will never have freedom in that area. And many times our past does that to us. If we don't take care of it, if we don't face it and conquer it, it will always be there holding you back. Don't be victimized by your past. Listen, the minute you play the victim card, you have lost. Oh, this is what happened, and now I just can't do it. They treated me wrong, and I went to church one time, and they were all rude to me, so I'm never going to church again. I'm not going to put myself through that. I'm a victim. The minute you play the victim card, you just gave up. You just waved the white flag, and now Satan rules you in that area. Well, listen, we are not victims. We are victors.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Thank you. We're victors. You should be excited about that. You have won. The victory has been won. Man. Yeah, I can't do that because so-and-so, did that to me, or that church did that to me, or that group of people, or that person, or that situation, and I'm just a victim, and I'll never get past that. Well, you got that attitude, you never will, and you won't be useful to God. You understand you're to be useful, right? There's a reason for you to exist. There's a reason that God saved you, and it wasn't just to save you. Ultimately, that's why Christ died on the cross, was to save us. But he's not done with you then. That's just the beginning. That's what this is about. Being in the race, being on the course. And there's things to be done in the kingdom of God. But when you play the victim card, you're done. Don't be crippled by your past. So here's a person that, yes, something's happened to them. And, when someone's crippled, they can still move. They just don't move so well. When we think of a cripple, usually we have in mind something with the legs or something. And I know we have some people here that use walkers and canes and things. They don't move so well anymore. But how are you moving spiritually? Yeah, the body breaks down. We all understand that. But are you crippled spiritually? Are you settling for less? Well, I can't do that because this thing happened to me in the past, and I'm doing as much as I can do right now. I'm doing all I'm capable of right now. Well, maybe you're doing all you're capable of, but are you doing all what God can do through you? That's the question. Or are you letting your shortcoming be His shortcoming? Don't be paralyzed. Don't be incarcerated. Don't be victimized. Don't be crippled by your past. So what's in your past? What's in your past? I'll tell you. Two different kind of things. In our past are some accomplishments and victories. We can look back and go, wow, I remember when I did this and God used me in this way and it was awesome. And, we have some victories. We have some accomplishments in our past. But see, here's the problem. Sometimes people are living in the past. Hey, I'd like you to do something here in the church. Well, I did that 30 years ago, but, I don't do that anymore. I was very successful at doing that, and I did my time, and I paid my dues, and that's for someone else to do now. And they're, and you see people, you ever meet people, and all they talk about is their past. Now, I know people that are like 50 years old, and they still talk about what they did in high school. I'm like, really? Nothing much has happened to you since high school? You can't live on your past victories. You can't rely on your past. I mean, it's great that we have them, and those are things that should encourage us, but we need to still be involved in the game. We still need to be involved in the race. And we don't give up. We don't live on the past and go, well, I did it then, you know. I know I could do it. I did it back then, and I'm done. And that's not what God has for you. God's not done with you. You're still here. If God was done with you, you wouldn't be here. You'd be there. So we have accomplishments and victories in our past. We also have defeats and failures, don't we? Guaranteed, everyone has defeats and failures. There's things that just didn't work. And maybe we tried really hard. Maybe it wasn't even our fault. But it didn't work. It didn't happen. It was a failure. It was a defeat. We went after it, and it just did not work out. You must resist reliving past failures. Okay, you can't just give up and say, well, you know, we tried that, and it didn't work. Okay, that's a fact. But so that means we don't do anything else? It means we don't go forward in some other way? I mean, what did we at least learn from our failure? And maybe we can do something similar, but in a different way. We learned from it, and now we're going to, you know, try something else. We got to resist reliving the past, the failures. And some people, that's where they all go back to. Yeah, I remember when we did that. It was no good. You know, you're in a meeting, you know, you're trying to plan something. Somebody just goes, well, we tried that 10 years ago, and it just blew up. Well, thank you for your input. I'm glad you're here tonight. Man, I don't know where I'd be without you. I mean, okay, let's recognize, yeah, we did try that. Yeah, it failed. But, you know, what did we learn? We got to resist that. And, you know, and I'm not just talking about, like, I'm talking about in your personal life, too. You know, the things that only you know about. Because we all have those things inside us where we feel like we're a failure or we feel like we failed. And when someone gets close to us in that area, the shield goes up, you know, like on Star Trek, put the shields up, Scotty, you know, turn on the shields. Somebody's getting close to my heart. You got to resist that, folks. You got to let God in your heart. Yeah, you had a failure. Fine. You're not alone. Everyone has them. Don't let it stop you. I had Dave read out of Genesis. Here's those verses. You're probably thinking, you know, what do those verses have to do, you know, with this? Joseph had two sons. He named the firstborn Manasseh, meaning God has made me forget all the hardship in my father's house. Now, obviously, Joseph didn't forget it utterly, right? Because he's talking about it. He remembered his brothers made fun of him, and, you know, and they were always on him because he had those dreams, and they put him down, and when they had their chance, they threw him in a pit, faked his death, lied to their father, sold him into slavery. You think he forgot all that? No way. But what he's saying there is, you know what? That stuff isn't bothering me. It's not influencing my decisions. It's not keeping me from serving God. And the second son he named Ephraim, meaning God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. I mean, think about it. You know, there's a sermon outline. You know, some of you guys want to preach a sermon, you know. Joseph, he was in the pit. He was at Potiphar's. He was in prison. And he ended up in the palace. Four P's. See, that's how you do it. You learn that. See, there's a whole semester in Bible college for you right there. You know, just get those four P's or whatever, you know, it'll work. But he did. You know, he went through all that stuff and ended up in the palace. He said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. He was in prison. And it wasn't no country club like we have here. And he ends up being the number two guy in the whole country. And he ran the country. Pharaoh just kicked back. Joseph ran everything. He had all the power. And then when the famine came, he said, they went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. He's the one doing it. He made him fruitful in the land of his affliction. And you know what? God wants to make you fruitful in the land of your affliction. Every single person here, we got something going on in our life we wish wasn't there. There's somebody in our life, there's something in our life, there's a situation in our life, there's whatever is in our life, and we could call that an affliction. But you know what? God wants to make you fruitful in the midst of that. You know, we don't have the capacity to forget. You know, when somebody does something to us, you're always going to remember. Now, it may not be on the forefront of your brain, but if somebody brings it, you know, sometimes it's somebody says a word or you hear a song or something, and then bam, all this memory comes back, don't it? And you're like, man, I remember that. Oh, man, that was a bad time in my life. Things were not good then. We don't have the capacity to forget, but we do have the capacity to move on. That's what Joseph did. He just made the best. You know, when they sold him into slavery, he just became the best slave he could be. And he rose in Potiphar's house until, of course, his wife made a false accusation, Potiphar's wife. He ends up in prison. So he ended up being the best prisoner he could be. He actually had authority within the prison. He made God, you know, we sometimes think about this fruitful with Joseph. We just think about when he was in the palace. But he was fruitful with Potiphar. He was fruitful in prison. You know, the Bible says in another place, Jesus said, he said, if you're faithful in a small thing, you'll be faithful in a big thing. If you're unfaithful in a small thing, you'll be unfaithful in a big thing. Let's just be faithful in a small thing. And you know what? God will bring bigger things in your life. We just need to be faithful. Whether things are going good or not, we need to be faithful and stay focused. Jesus said this, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Let that sink in. You know, you can't be here serving, you know, doing whatever and going, oh man. It'd be like me up here. And listen, I've preached some real losers of messages. Some of them are recorded and I've heard them and I'm like, really? People sat through that? Maybe you're thinking that right now. I don't know. You think, man, we got to sit through this? But I'll look back and I'll hear myself and I'll listen and I'm sitting there thinking, of course, hopefully I've grown. You know, in the 30 years I've been preaching, and hopefully I'm better now than I was. And I listen to those things, and I'm like, but what if I was up here every day and just, oh, man, you know, I remember back in 1989 when I preached that message, and, you know. No. You don't look back. You're not fit for the kingdom of God looking back. You just remember, you know, and I remember people were very gracious with me. And after a message, they come up and tell me what a great job I did, and I knew it was not good. But they were encouraging. They saw a bigger picture than just that one thing. But, you know, whatever it is in your past, whatever it is, you know, you can't be looking back at that thing. You know what happens when you're plowing? You got to go in a straight line. And when you look back, you just start doing this. That's what happens. You start turning off. And you know, in our life, when we're looking back all the time, there's no way we can keep going straight. Now, I'm not saying ignore your past. Look, if there's things back there that you haven't dealt with, you need to deal with it. Deal with it, resolve it, be done with it, go forward. That's what you do. Learn from it and go forward. That's what you do. Past is a good teacher, but it's a lousy place to live. Remember, God is bigger than your past. There is nothing in your past God can't handle. Whatever that failure is or was, whatever that situation was, whatever that circumstance was, whatever that defeat was, God's bigger than that. Don't let that stop you from fulfilling God's will in your life. Go forward. You're able to do that. You must press forward. Press forward. He says, brothers, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it. One thing I do, I'm going to forget what is behind, and I'm going to reach forward to what is ahead. Press forward. You know, in order to reach, you got to stretch. You got to stretch out. I'm going to give you some truths about stretching. Number one, most people avoid it. They don't want to be stretched. They're content. Hey, I'm right here. I've kind of carved my little niche. And you know, we do this, right? Like 90% of you sat in these seats last time. Yeah. I mean, we do. And, you know, and that's just an illustration of our life, really. We get in these routines and we resist being stretched. Oh, don't ask me to do something new. I mean, we don't even like to be asked to move out of our seat, let alone tackle some job we've never done before. We avoid being stretched. Most people feel vulnerable when they're stretched. You know, when I think of this, I think of football, because football's starting up again. And I think of the wide receiver that runs out across the middle, and when the quarterback throws the ball, they reach like this, and they are so vulnerable, aren't they? They're like this, and that defensive back or that linebacker is coming. And you'll see a lot of guys, they short arm it. They call it short arm. They just, because they know that guy's coming, they miss the pass. Because why? They pull their hands back. Because they're going to get hit. They're vulnerable. And you know what? We're kind of like that in life when God's trying to make us stretch and we reach out there. And I'm like, wow, I'm really opening myself up to some attacks. Or I'm opening myself up to criticism. Or I'm opening myself up to being second-guessed. You know, we feel vulnerable. We get out there, we're doing something. I remember first time they ever asked me to speak, I was feeling very vulnerable because I didn't know how. But you learn and you get better. And you come to realize, you know what, when you go through it, there is life on the other side. You will live, and you'll be okay, and it'll be fine. But most people feel really vulnerable when they're being stretched. Most people need encouragement to keep stretching. You know, once they kind of test the waters and they go out there, and then they go, okay, I did it, I'm just going to go back. And they need encouragement. Hey, you did a good job. You need to, you know, do that again. Most people need encouragement. You know, I hope you encourage. We all need to be encouragers, because you know what? Most of us need encouraging. Almost everybody's dealing with something. You know? And we need to be encouraged. Need to encourage one another. That's what's great about being in a church where people care and know one another. We begin to know each other and our little weaknesses, our situations. And you know what? It's nice when someone says, man, I was praying for you this week. I know what you're going through. And I just want you to know I prayed for you. And that's encouraging. Sometimes people just come up, they know you're going through something, they'll just put their hand on your shoulder, you know, and just go, hey, it's going to be all right. You know, we need that. Especially when someone's taking on something that they're not used to or they've never done before. They need to hear a word of encouragement. Most people don't realize that the need for stretching never ends. It never ends. I don't know how your Christian walk has been, but every time I think God can't use me in some other way, He finds another way. He finds something different to grow me. You know, there's an old saying, God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. No matter how much you've grown, no matter how much you've stretched in areas, there's always another place. There's always another test, you might say. There's another, I prefer to use the word opportunity. God will do that. And we need to, because otherwise we become complacent. And when you get complacent, you don't grow. Most people look back at stretching experiences as their finest hours. And if you've never stuck your neck out, you don't know the exhilaration when God pulls it off. And then you look back and you go, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I just had faith and I did, and God came through. Do you understand? There is no way you can put God on the spot. He hasn't called you to anything that He's not prepared to pull you through it. You can't put Him on the spot. Oh, God, you know, yeah, you called me to do that and I went up in flames. No, if you went up in flames, it was either that was His will to teach you something. Okay? You can't look at it as defeat. You got to look at it as a learning experience. Or you didn't do your part. You know, God could call me to preach, but where would I be if I came up here and I hadn't prepared? See, if I don't do my part, He can't come through. We're a team. God wants to use us. Now, could He do it without me? Of course. He's God. But that's not what He chooses. He chooses to use people, and there's something He wants to use you for. There's a purpose. There's a reason. There's a calling. There's a whatever that's out there. And believe me, if God's called you to do it, He's going to come through for you. And then one day you'll look back and go, wow. Now, I don't know how all that worked out, but God made it happen. It's wild. The mission trips I've gone on, I mean, some of those, it would just seem like there was no way this was going to work out, but then God showed up. It's an amazing thing. And I look back at some of those experiences, and those are some of, not my finest hours, it's God's finest hours, working through me or working through the people that I was with or whatever. Man, if you've never stretched, you don't know what I'm talking about. Because it's cool when He shows up. It is really something. And it's amazing how things work out. And the mission gets done, whatever the mission is. Stretching requires getting out of your comfort zone. When you're stretching, you're not comfortable. You know, one of the things that doctors tell me all the time when I go in, they say, you need to stretch because I am bound up And I'm like, I don't like stretching. Hurts. I don't bend that way, Doc. But you know, when you're serving God, and that's the physical sense, but you know, in serving God, we get in a comfort zone, don't we? Well, this is what I do, and this is what I'm comfortable in. You know, on Wednesday, I taught in the parenting class at the Rose of Sharon, which I've been doing, you know, since the early 90s. I got thinking about it afterwards. I mean, I preached to them for about an hour. I mean, it was just, because it was the final class, and that's always the one where I do the plan of salvation. But I got on them about marriage. And they were just sitting there, you know. And I just went off, you know. And I got thinking about it afterwards. And they responded well. In fact, we had six people pray to receive Jesus that day. So praise the Lord, you know. Amen. Six people received Jesus. Come on. Yeah, now we're talking. Golly, people. But, yeah, I never, there was a time I never, you know, why, what am I doing teaching pregnant women anything? I mean, seriously. And believe me, I was not in my comfort zone for a long time. But I mean, now I am, because I've done it for 20-something years. But God had a purpose in that. You know, most of those girls don't really have a dad. And for many of them, I'm the first guy that ever came along and cared without an agenda. You know, I just cared. Just, I want them to succeed. I want them to be better people. I want them to have a good life. And I got no agenda. I'm not being paid for it. I'm not, you know, anything. And they respond to that. Now, I would have never figured that. I remember when they asked me to do that the first time. I'm like, well, I raised three boys. I don't even know anything about these girls. But God had a plan. And it's been one of the most fulfilling ministries I've ever been a part of. But it requires getting out of your comfort zone. Page two. I don't usually have page two, but reasons people stay in their comfort zones. Well, I'm wrapping it up. Number one, lack of hunger. You know, why do people stay in a comfort zone? Because they're not hungry for anything else. They've lost. I mean, it is exciting when you stick your neck out. It's exciting. When you try something you never tried before, it's exciting. Scary, too, but it's exciting. If there's no fear in it, it's not worth doing. Come on. It's exciting when you do stuff. But a lot of people, there's a lack of hunger. They're satisfied with where they are. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Always be looking for what God is wanting to do. Second, many times we are unwilling to sacrifice. You know, it costs you something. It cost Jesus everything, didn't it? And we're going to be like Him? That's the whole point of this thing, right? Pursuing Christ's likeness? So you realize if it cost Jesus everything, what's it going to cost you? I mean, can you honestly say, here's my life, Lord? I put everything, all my possessions, all my relationships, all my finances, my abilities, my dreams, I put everything in here. And Lord, You can take anything You want to accomplish Your will in my life. You can take it. So many times we're like this. And you know what? Yeah, that keeps God from taking. But it also keeps Him from putting something in there. You know, yeah, you know, what I have found when God takes something from me, He puts something back that's better. that's more valuable. It doesn't necessarily mean like money. I'm talking about some of the experiences I've had are valuable, and I would not trade them for anything. Even though I was very uncomfortable, I was very defeated, or you know, whatever. By I look back on it and I go, wow, thank you, Lord. But if you got your hand like this, God can't put anything in there. You're holding on. And many times we are unwilling to sacrifice. Lack of confidence is another reason people stay in their comfort zone. I can't do it. All that means is you're trusting in your ability instead of God's. That's all that means. Is your confidence in yourself or is your confidence in the God who created you? Personal issues keep us in our comfort zone. What's that? Baggage. Baggage. Failure to address the past and put it behind you. Personal issues. Things you didn't deal with. Listen, you don't dwell on your past. If there's something that's undone, maybe you need to forgive somebody, or maybe you need to ask someone to forgive you. Whatever it might be, you need to do it. Just do it. And then once you do it, you just go on now. It's that thing is done. You've reconciled it. Whether they accept it or not, you know, maybe you need to ask someone to forgive you. You did something. That's not on you anymore. You ask God to forgive you. You ask the person to forgive you. And then you move on. And if they choose not to forgive you, they've got bitterness. They're going to pay a price, but that's not on you. You can move on. Personal issues keep us in our comfort zone. This is just where I stay. I'm not going to deal with that person there because that's just, you know, bad news. I'm staying right here. No, deal with it and move on. And let God have it. Lack of focus. We get busy doing a whole bunch of stuff and we're comfortable instead of focusing on the one thing that God wants us to focus on. Because you know what I've found? When I start focusing on God, He starts opening up stuff. And He starts getting me out of my comfort zone. Sometimes living off past accomplishments keeps us in our comfort zone. Well, I already did that. Satisfied with what I've done. I'm good. Let someone else do it now. I'm just staying right here. I got my little niche. Past failures keep us in our comfort zone. Letting the past rule our present. Here's a big one. Physical, emotional, or spiritual exhaustion. Now, most of us, you know, if we get tired physically, we'll get some rest physically. Do you take care of yourself emotionally and spiritually? You know, Jesus Himself had to get away and get alone with His Father. Now, this is Jesus. If Jesus had a need to get away and get alone with His Father, how much more do we need to? And people get exhausted. You know, you can be busy and busy and busy, and you get tired, and then you start getting a bad attitude. Why? Because you're just burning out. And the reason you're burning out is you're doing it in your own strength. It's not God working through you. Take time and give God a chance to minister to you. If you fail to do that, you will never move forward. Do you realize, I mean, and I'm kind of wired that way as far as like I just push and, you know, and do, and nobody can do it as good as me, so I got to do it myself, you know. I'm kind of wired that way, and it doesn't mean that I really believe no one else could do it, but it's just, it's easier for me to do it than to teach somebody else to do it, so I just do it. But you under, I've met people, oh, if I don't go in, if I don't do this, then it won't, you know, do you, now, you know what I do? I ask them this. I go, what if you drop dead right now? I mean, you know, let's just get real. If you drop dead right now with that organization or that job, would it get done? Would they still be there tomorrow? Yeah, I hate to break it to you. Yes, they would still be there tomorrow. It would still go forward, and someone else would be doing what you think they can't do. They, believe me, you need to get away from time to time and let someone else handle it so that you can recharge. And then when you come back, you're better than you were. Whatever it is. Now, I use the example of a job, but it's whatever. It's, you know, whatever your situation is. Don't ignore your need for God to minister to you. Is the race you are running on the right course? Are you on the right course? Wouldn't it be a bummer to, you know, you run this race for like 20 years and then you realize that wasn't what God wanted me to do at all. Now I got to start over. This is interesting. It is said that the Roman scholar Cato, he began to study Greek when he was over 80 years old. And Greek's a hard language to learn. And when he was asked why he was taking on such a difficult task at his age, his reply was, well, it's the earliest age I have left. I'm 80. Well, I ain't going to wait till I'm 90. I'll just be older then. So I'm just going to start now. You know, what's God calling you to do? Today, will you forget the past? You know, and you know what I mean, right? You're not going to let it influence you anymore. Get out of your comfort zone and take on the task, the goal, the race to become Christ-like. You can't get back your past, but you can start now. Because after all, it's the earliest age you have left. All we have is now, folks. Yesterday's gone. All we have is now. Start now. I think the battery's going low. Let's be like Jesus and make the most of our lives for Him. You know, He gave it all for us. You know, He died for us. Will we live for Him? That's really the question. Let's get on the course that He has set before us. You know, what is it that you know, you've had that inkling, I need to do this, I need to get involved in that, or, you know, there's something I need to try, or there's some ministry that just kind of beckons me and I've fought it for years, you know, whatever it might be. That's the course He wants you on. Are you on that course? Or are you running your race? On your course. I can tell you this, His course is the one that has all the fulfillment. That's the one that has the satisfaction. That's the one that has the power and the thrills and the excitement. The one that He has. Let's get on the course He set before us. Let's pursue Jesus. Could be somebody here today that, you know, you can't really pursue Jesus because He's never gotten a hold of you yet. It could be someone here today that you've never trusted in what He did on the cross. Your salvation is not a fact. It can be. Just ask Him. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to move into your life. You know He will. It'll be the best movie ever made. For the rest of us, whose race are you running? Is it yours or his? What are you focused on? Are you focused on all the stuff, or are you focused on God, following him? How's your past in, you know, how do you deal with your past? Are there some things in your past that have been holding you back? Are there some things in your past that, you know, because as I was talking, God brought them to your mind, and you're like, you know, I've never dealt with that, or I've never reconciled that, or I've never moved in that area that I need to. And I realize that. How many would say, my comfort zone, I've been kind of just staying in a comfort zone, and I'm realizing that God has more for me. I mean, that, you know, and God's kind of brought that to your mind. This is the time to act. This is the time to start following Jesus, pursuing him. We can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I have never accepted Christ as my Savior. I've never made a confession of faith. I've never trusted in what Jesus did on the cross. And I recognize my need of that right now. Is there anybody like that? Please slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. Anybody like that? For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I've been kind of just staying in my comfort zone, and I know God's been wanting me to do some things, and I've not been open to that, and I need prayer about that. Is anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I've got some things in my past that have been hounding me, and I need to take care of it one way or another so that I can move forward. Anybody like that? Just simple amen. God bless you. Some things in our past. Amen. How many would say, Brother Mike, I've kind of been running my race on my course, and I recognize that, and I really need to get alone with God and start moving in his direction on the course that he set for me. Anybody like that? I recognize that. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way within us, Lord, as we ponder these truths, this verse about pursuing Christ and Lord God, and what it means to us personally. And Lord God, wake us up to your truth and give us courage to step out and stretch and to get out of our comfort zone and to allow you to bring us into abundant life, Lord. Help us to see that our ways are not the best ways. Your ways are, and we need to be following you. Help us, Lord, to make that decision. Lead, guide, and direct us, Lord, this day. Be with us, Lord. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time as Kathy plays. It's upon you to deal with the Lord that has been dealing with you. It's your time to respond. Take advantage of it. Father, Lord God, we come before you acknowledging that apart from you we can do nothing, that nothing is lasting apart from you. Father God, help us, Lord, to have eyes to see and ears to hear when you are moving in our life, when you are giving us opportunities, Lord. Give us the courage to step forward and take on whatever it is you lay before us, Lord, that we would be the profitable servant for you. And Lord, let our focus be on you as we do the many things that we do. And Lord, help us to have a right mind toward all these things, that you would be glorified, Lord, that we would benefit from having walked with you. And Lord, help us to be on the path that you've laid before us, that you have laid before us. And Lord God, we will give you the praise. We will give you the glory because you are worthy, you and you alone. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit who is within us to guide us. We thank you for Jesus who died on the cross, that we would have relationship with you. And we thank you, Lord, for your love and your care in our lives. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.